Now, by the way, let me tell you why most people don't make the change besides the rationalization. They get hooked in another pattern. And that pattern is they get in what I call the pressure cooker. The pressure cooker is, here's what occurs. People don't change, don't change, don't change. So things get worse, 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 worse until finally it gets so bad, you got to change. And what makes it so bad is you get so much pain. One day, you know, you can't pick up your own telephone calls because you're afraid it's going to be a bill collector. You know, you get to the point where you can't get your butt to squeeze in the regular class seat on the airplane without having your ability to breathe impaired. You know, something occurs that finally pushes you over the edge. You go, not another day, not another moment. You get so much pain, step one, that you take step two. You take action. Now, when you take action, you go to step three. You get results. You start to lose weight, as an example. When you start to lose weight, step four happens. The pain reduces. When the pain reduces, step five happens. You lose your drive. When you lose your drive, step six happens. You stop taking action at the same level. And when you stop taking action at the same level, the final step occurs, step seven, you go right back to where you started from. This is the pressure cooker. And then people do it again and again and again. The way to avoid the pressure cooker is to walk yourself through the seven steps of conscious change. And these seven steps we want to use right now so that you really implement your hour of power, so you keep that advantage to your life, you keep that edge, but also so you get that extraordinary experience of connection with yourself, that time with yourself. Also, these would be the same seven steps you'll go through to make a dietary change. So let's get to them real fast. Here they are. They're really simple. Number one, get disturbed. Now you might say, get disturbed? That doesn't sound like a very sweet first step, Tony. Well, it isn't sweet, but it works. Because we can't possibly change unless we get ourselves disturbed enough that we're going to do something about it. What it really means is get honest with yourself. Don't use any softeners. Don't use any rationalizations. Don't compare yourself to other people so you can feel okay. Don't compare how you used to be and say, look, I used to be worse, so it's not that bad. All those things will steal away your drive. See, if you really wanted to get disturbed and you feel like you're overweight, then rip off your clothes right now and look in a full-length mirror and then turn around and look at the parts that you never want to see. You know, the parts that are scaring the family? Come on. Let's be honest here. You know, you've got to see this stuff, and you've got to be truthful, don't you? Because if you're not truthful with yourself, you can never have the energy to change. You've got to get disturbed. You finally say, no more, not another minute, not another day. If you're not willing to go for the full naked approach, you could put on some clothes that you used to wear and look in the mirror and feel the tightness. See, anything that can make you move. Now you say, well, my problem is not overweight, Tony. Then look at what you're missing out on because you haven't followed through, because you haven't made the decision, because you haven't spent the time with your kids, because you haven't been there having some date nights or some special time with the person you love. Get associated to the problem before it gets out of control. Make it worse than it even is if you need to get disturbed, because you need to get yourself to take action, don't you? You wouldn't have thought of something you wanted to change unless there was something about it that wasn't good enough. And the challenge is just getting yourself to get something visceral, something that will move you. Maybe you need to go do a blood test and see what your blood looks like after having one of these big fatty meals and watching all the red blood cells sticking together. And they stick together, they move more slowly, so you get less oxygen. You get less oxygen, you got less energy. Cells get weak, they die. Maybe seeing that makes it more visceral for you. But if you're not disturbed, you're not going to change. It's that simple. And most of us, when we get disturbed, what do? Immediately? We immediately placate ourselves. We immediately try and get rid of the pain. Pain is your friend if you don't just live there, if you use it for drive. See, there's a reason you begin this pain. It's a signal to your nervous system saying, this isn't working, you must do something. But what we do is we pop an aspirin or a drug or smoke a cigarette or eat some more food or distract ourselves with TV. We find some drug of choice that's acceptable in society or in our peer group, and we kill the pain, and therefore we kill the drive. Drive is your friend. You will only have drive if you are disturbed. Get disturbed by getting really clear with yourself. When you have hunger, you'll move forward. I don't mean physical hunger. I mean a hunger for something deeper and richer. Hunger only happens by getting disturbed. Now, here's another way to get disturbed, not just look at how bad it is. Get around where it's better. Get around people who are playing life at a higher level, where they are really physically fit. They're strong. They're energetic. They're passionate. They're fun. They got a great relationship. Because seeing that will also disturb you, because you won't be able to separate the fact that your life is not like that. You can try to rationalize all you want, but the more you're around people who are playing life at the highest level, the more disturbed you'll get. You'll either run back to your friends so you can feel good about your life compared to them, or you'll join a new peer group. Like I said earlier, you want to be good at tennis, you got to play somebody better than you are, which is disturbing, and it creates drive, and it makes you have to get better. Play somebody who's worse than you are, there's nothing disturbing about that. It's boring, it's not disturbing. And staying where you are is boring, so you got to get disturbed. Now, if all you do is get disturbed and get all stirred up, that's not going to be really good, and after a while you're going to want to escape that. So you got to turn that feeling of being disturbed into drive, and the way you do that is while you're disturbed, step two, you make a real decision. And that decision requires that you don't decide just what to do. Some people get disturbed about, let's say, their body and say, okay, I'm going to run 22 miles. They make a decision. But that's not what they want. They don't want to run 22 miles. That's the game plan. See, everyone who's successful has what I call an RPM plan. This is what we teach in the time of your life. An RPM plan means a plan that has three answers to three questions. Number one, they know what result they're after. That's what the R is. They know what they want. The result, the specific result they're committed to. I've never met a successful person who doesn't know what they want. Because your chances of suddenly bumping into what you want without knowing what it is are slim and none. Number two, they know their purpose, which means they know why they want it. If you want something, oh, I want $1 million. I want, 12% body fat. I want, this great relationship. Well, that's wonderful, but that's a should. What makes it a must is when you have enough reasons to make it happen no matter what, enough purpose behind it. Purpose has power. You can't just know what it is you want. You don't know why you want it, the purpose for it. And the M is you need a massive action plan. And the massive action plan means lots of ways to get the job done. Because if you say, I'm going to run 20 miles, and then you get to about 3, and you can't go another step, and then all of a sudden you're tight as heck, now you're going to go, well, I can't run. Well, your purpose, your outcome was not to run. The result you were after wasn't running. It was to lose 20 pounds. It was to be energetic. It was to have your energy increased. So you're focusing on something you can't do instead of saying, I can lose the weight still because I must. Here's why, and here's my plan. Okay, I'll swim. The running didn't work, I'll swim. I'll walk. I'll do this. There are a million ways. You need a massive action plan. So get disturbed and then make a decision about what you want and why you want it. What's your ultimate vision? What's your ultimate purpose? So let's try this with you right now. Let's get honest. Let's take a moment right now. What is it in your life that is not good enough, and if you're honest, is really disgusting? You go, Tony, I'm really glad I came to this positive tape today. What's disgusting in my life? Thank you very much. Nothing. My life is perfect. Bull. Nobody's life is perfect if they're healthy. I mean, think about it. Anybody who's honest has a gap in their life between where they are and where they want to be in some area. If your body's perfect, then you don't have enough time. If your time is perfect, then you don't know your children. If your children are perfect, then your finances are screwed up. Come on, it's part of being human. So honest people can look at the gap, and because they can look at it, they can close the gap between where they are and where they want to be quickly. But you know what? As soon as you close it, you'll just create another one because you'll raise your standards. That's what life's about, right?